You know, the goal of this series has been to remind us of how valuable we are to God. You're valuable to God, amen? You really are. God highly values you. You know, the communion we've just taken there a few minutes ago is a demonstration of the value that God has on your life. He valued it so much that he gave his only son, Jesus. He didn't have a bagload of sons. He had one son. Amen? And he gave his one and only son, Jesus, for you and me, for to pay for our sins. I mean, like, you know, it's like we went out into the world, we sinned, we done this, that, and the other thing, and God said, I sent my son Jesus for that. Not that we deserved it. We certainly didn't deserve it. But God did it anyway. God highly values you. He really does. He's invested an awful lot into you. Amen? Jesus. He invested Jesus into you. And we need to remind ourselves of how valuable that we are to God and how important our God-given gifts and talents are to this generation. For the first 4 weeks of this series, we've been talking about how we need to have confidence in those gifts that God gave us. Amen? We need to be confident in the gift that God gave us. Not to go around, you know, thinking that, you know what, I'm weak or my gifts are not as strong as his gifts or her gifts. No, your gifts are uniquely given to you by God for you to use in this generation. Amen? And we need to have confidence in those gifts. And we need to learn what our true identity is in Jesus Christ. Amen? Today we're wrapping up this series, and I want to talk to you for a few minutes about something that, you know, Paul talked last week, and it was brilliant. He talked about identity last week, and we were all blessed. And I just thought after that, okay, how am I going to wrap up this series? And I just thought, you know what? We need to talk about our words. Amen? We need to talk about our words and how important the words that we speak out of our mouths are. You know, it's all well and good, Paul and I talking to you and telling you about what God thinks about you and about what God says about you, but your job is to start to receive it. Start to believe it. Amen? Start to walk it out. Proverbs chapter 23 and verse 7 says, for as he, you can put in she, everything that I say today, he, you can put in she beside it, okay? As he thinks in his heart, so is he. As you think in your heart, so you are. And the problem that I think a lot of us have is that a lot of us think negative thoughts about ourselves. Yeah? And you know what happens when you think negative thoughts about yourself? You start to project those thoughts to other people. Amen? So if you start to think that you are a failure, you start to wear failure. You understand what I'm saying? This morning, just before we were leaving, I was trying to decide what jacket I was going to wear today. And maybe I made a bad choice. I don't know. But anyway, it was going to be a black jacket or a brown jacket or this jacket or a denim jacket. And I just thought, you know, I'd wear this one for a change. And Beck said, praise the Lord, because you've worn a black one for the last 3 or 4 weeks. But I'm wearing this jacket, amen? Yeah? You can see I'm wearing this jacket. I think a lot of the things that we think about ourselves, we wear. And we wear them to the extent that other people see that we wear them. Like, I think I'm a failure. I project failure to other people, then they can nearly see it in you that you don't believe in yourself. You're wearing failure. You think you're unintelligent. Well, you're wearing unintelligentness. Is that a word? Praise God. That shows my intelligence. Praise God. I'm not wearing it. Amen. You think there's no hope for you, so you project that to everybody else, and everybody else sees that you're hopeless too. You think that you're Shrek. I mean, you praise God, you project Shrekness to everybody else. Amen? You can't talk defeat and expect victory. Can't talk lack and expect abundance. Can't go around miserable and expect to be full of joy. Here's the thing. If you don't like the harvest that you're reaping, you got to start planting some different seeds. Amen? Glory to God. Our field beside our house is ready to be planted. And every year for the last maybe 5 years, they've planted winter corn in it, or winter barley. I'm not sure. I'm not a farmer. Amen? It's winter something. Plants it around November time every year. And it's not the most beautiful or handsomest crop. And it takes so long for it to grow. I mean, it's plants in November. And by maybe in March now, you might start seeing some little green shoots. And it only gets up to about this height. And it's, you know, it's just, you know, not the thing. Prior to that, for about 3 or 4 years, he planted corn on the cob in the field there. And he plants it around this time every year. And for about 3 or 4 years before the last 5 years, we've seen the farmer come into the field this time of the year planting corn on the cob, and it's a beautiful crop, amen? It gets this high, and it's just, it's deadly. So he hasn't started to do the field in the last few weeks, and now it's done, and we're like crossing everything that's corn on the cob this year. If you don't like the harvest that you are reaping, you got to change the seed, amen? Amen? Got to change the seed. Church, we really need to start to learn to speak positive words over our lives, over our health, over our children, our relationships, our husband, our wives, even over our bosses. Amen? We need to learn to speak positive words in our home. We were coming out of Dunn's on Friday. Dropped into Dunn's, got a few things, and we're just coming out with our trolley. And as we were going back to the car, there was a woman going down the escalator in front of us, and she got on her phone. She had her trolley as well, and a little child with her. She got on her phone, and she started to eat one of her children. And I mean, like, I was looking at Angela, I was thinking, like, you know, does she not know we're here behind her? I mean, I was saying to Angela, where's discretion gone now? And I mean, she was letting them have it. And this was only another child. I mean, it was a 10, 12, 13-year-old. And she was skinning him. And even as we walked to the car, this close to this, she was still eating the child. And we got into the car, and I think Rebecca was with us. Were you with us, Rebecca? You said it, sorry. Angela said, that child is going to get it now when she gets into the car. The little child. Because she brought an attitude into the car. She brought an atmosphere into the car. What I'm trying to say is that if we don't speak positively over our kids, if we don't speak positively in our home, our homes are always going to be charged. There's always going to be an atmosphere there. There's always going to be tension there. There's always going to be something that's ready to be tipped over the line, ready to have an argument all the time. We need to speak positively over our kids, positively over our homes. Amen? Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 20 says, a man or a woman's stomach shall be satisfied from the fruit of their mouths. From the produce of their lips they shall be filled. Did you get that? A man's life will be satisfied from the words of his mouth, not from the food he eats off the table. That's a kind of satisfaction, amen? You eat a nice meal and you get up and you're happy, you're kind of satisfied to a degree, but if you want true satisfaction will come from the fruit of your lips, amen? From the fruit of your mouth. Your words produce things. Did you know that? Your words produce things. They can produce life or they can produce death. Your words have creative power. Let's go back a few years. Let's go back to the very beginning of actual fact. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 3. It says there that God said, let there be light, and there was light. In the beginning, what did God do? He said, let there be light. Did you see that? In the very beginning, God didn't go to Dunn's, Tesco's, Woody's, Lidl or Aldi and buy the biggest light that he could find. Find himself a transformer or a generator and go and plug it in and then create some light. No, he didn't. So how did light appear? God said, let there be light. God used his words to speak light into existence. Amen? So where did the light come from? From the fruit of God's lips. Amen? Didn't finish there. Verse 6, God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. Verse 9, God said, let the waters underneath the heavens be gathered together in one place, and let dry land appear. Didn't finish there. And God said, let the earth bring forth grass and herb that yields seed and fruit tree that yields fruit according to its kind, whose seed is in itself on the earth, and it was so. I love that bit at the end. And it was so. When God created the earth, he didn't go to the best civil engineers of his day, whoever they were, and hire them to make and draw up plans, or he didn't head down to Woody's or B&Q, buy the materials himself. God created the earth and everything in it by using his words. Amen? Many times we're sitting at the table at home eating dinner. We do it fairly regularly. And I will motion or point to Angela for maybe the ketchup or the mayo. Now, we're not or don't have a mayo phobia in our home. Stroll back to a few weeks ago, whoever was listening. So I'll be busy chewing, and I will point to the mayo. And even though Angela will know exactly what I'm looking for, oftentimes she'll say to me, use your words. I'm busy chewing. Church, your words are powerful. Amen. For the good of your life. But also, they're powerful for the detriment of your life. God created the earth by the power of his words. And we can also create our future by the power of our words. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 29. This is from the easy to read version. And I was just reading over again this morning. It is not easy to read, so give me a second. When you talk, don't say anything bad, but say the good things that people need, whatever will help them to grow stronger. Then what you say will be a blessing to those who hear you. Did you get that? Message version puts it this way. It says, watch the way you talk. Let nothing foul or dirty come out of your mouth. Say only what helps. Each word is a gift. Church, we have to be so careful what words we release out of our mouths, don't we? Our words have creative power. We can use our words to curse people, or we can use our words to bless people. We should use our words to build people up. Amen? To edify them, to encourage them, to build them up, to just speak positively over people, over situations, over things. Proverbs 18 goes on to say in verse 21, it says, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. We can speak life, or we can speak death over our lives. It's really that serious. Amen? Your words are literally creating your future. Your words are so powerful. They should be locked up in a gun cabinet and used with the greatest of caution. Amen? During the Second World War, the Americans came up with this phrase. It's amazing. It says, loose lips sink ships, meaning beware of unguarded talk. The phrase used on propaganda posters and was a part of a general campaign to advise service men and other citizens to avoid careless talk that might undermine, the war effort. And I believe that's very, very applicable still to our lives today. Loose words will sink your life. Amen? I mean, their fear in those days was that, you know, servicemen would have orders when they were heading back or heading out to war. You know, they would have known, you know, plans of what was going on. And you know, they were trying to avoid people talking down the pub or talking among their friends because they were saying loose words will sink ships. Amen? Another great poster from World War II that they came up with was, "The enemy is listening." The enemy is listening. And he is. Amen? The enemy is listening to your every word. And when you speak negatively over your life, over your family, over your job, over your relationships, when you speak negatively, the enemy is saying, "Yes, I totally agree with you." Enemy hears every word you say. Death and life are in the words that you speak out of your mouth. Every time you say, "I never get a good break, I'm never going to shift this condition, I'll never break this addiction, never meet the right person." Every time you speak negative words over your life, you're speaking death into that part of your life. God speaks words of life. Amen? The enemy speaks words of death. And by your words, what you release out of your mouth, by your words, you're either agreeing with God or you're agreeing with the enemy. Amen? You're speaking life or you're speaking death. You wouldn't believe how easy we make it for the enemy sometimes. I mean, sometimes I think he just sits back on his lazy boy and he just lets us at it. Because we're so good at destroying our own lives ourselves that we make his job easy sometimes. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. When we start speaking negative words over our lives, the enemy is shouting out, "Yes, I totally agree with you." But what God is trying to teach us is that we should start calling those things that are not as though they were. Yeah. Amen? Romans 4:17. God wants us to call the things that are not as though they were. And that might seem silly. How can I call the thing that's not as if it was? Well, you're creating your future with your words, aren't you? When God created the earth, he created light out of nothing. He created earth out of nothing. He called those things that were not as though they were. And that's what God wants us to do. That's what he's trying to teach us to do. Call the things that are not as though they were. Call the things that are not the way you want them to be. Amen? We need to learn to call the things that are not the way that we want them to be. Amen? And we said it for the last few weeks, and I'm going to say it again. We need to stop allowing the enemy to decide our future. Amen? We need to stop allowing the enemy to be the one who determines what your future is going to be. Because he hasn't got a good plan for you. Amen? He's not going to prosper you. He's not going to heal you. He's not going to promote you. He's not going to encourage you to be everything that God created you to be. His plan is to kill, steal, and destroy you. Amen? So we need to stop allowing the enemy to be the one who determines what we do in our life, determines our future. We need to get into agreement with what God says about us and start confessing God's word over our lives, over our families, over our future. We need to start and believe and confess things that God says about us, like, "I am loved. I am a masterpiece." Praise God. We need to stand and tell ourselves these things in front of the mirror every morning. "I am chosen. I am holy. I am forgiven. I'm a new creation. I'm redeemed. I'm valuable. I am provided for. I am blessed. I am a friend of God." These are the things that we need to be professing over our lives, proclaiming over our lives. Amen? Amen. So many people say that I've been a follower of Jesus for years and I haven't seen any change in my life. Haven't seen things shift, and I was sick when I came to Jesus. I'm still sick today. I was broke when I came to Jesus, and I'm still broke today. I was depressed when I came to Jesus, and I'm still depressed today. I wonder what your words have been like. Amen? You know, coming to Jesus and making Jesus the Lord and Savior of your life, it changes your future destination, but you still have those things to deal with. Amen? You still have the lack to deal with. You still have the sickness to deal with. You still have the depression to deal with. Amen? But what God is saying, that when you come to me, you need to change the way you speak. You need to change your language. Amen? From the language of death to the language of life. Amen? You need to stop speaking death over your life. Amen? Okay, it may be a fact that you're depressed, but you know what? I'm coming out of depression. Amen? Maybe a fact that I'm skint, I'm broke, but you know what? God provides for me. Amen? I'm going to start walking in the fullness of everything God has provided for me. When you come to Jesus, you need to change your language. Amen? Start speaking life into these situations in your life. Amen? You know, the only way that you will ever get a suntan, if you want a suntan, is to expose yourself to the sun. Is that right? Never get a suntan in the shade. Amen? And if you want to walk in the fullness of all God's blessings that God wants to bless you with, you got to start confessing the word of God over your life. Amen? It is not going to come on you by default. Just because the sun is shining in Spain don't mean you get a suntan in Ireland. Amen? That's not out of a bottle. Praise God. You wouldn't believe the amount of Christians who don't believe that God wants to set them free from depression. You wouldn't believe the amount of Christians that do not believe that God wants to prosper them, that God wants to give them the breakthrough or the victory. And if you don't believe those things, praise the Lord, you'll never have them. Amen. God can promise you in His Word. I want to prosper you. I want to bless you. I want to set you free. I want to heal you. But if you don't apply that word to your life, you're not going to walk in it by default. Amen? It's just not going to happen. Amen? Starve to death outside the supermarket if you don't go in and buy some food. Amen? Supermarket's not going to walk out and give you food. Their job is to stock the shelves, provide the food, open the doors, invite you in. But you have to go in and buy it. Amen? And then when you buy it, you got to bring it home and cook it. Amen? You could starve to death with a full pantry, full fridge. But if you don't cook any of that food, if you don't eat it, praise God, you're going to starve to death. And you can say all you like. You know, I've been a Christian for 20 years. I was depressed when I came a Christian. I'm still depressed today. Well, have you applied the word of God to your life? Or have you just decided to wallow in your depression? I was broke when I came to Jesus. I'm still broke today. Well, have you applied any of God's laws concerning sowing and reaping over your life? All God can do is, it's the truth. All God can do is provide for us. It's up to us to walk in it. Do you know that Jesus died for everyone? Everyone. There's not one person on this planet that Jesus died for, but yet we'll all be saved. All God can do is provide it, amen. It's up to us to walk in it, receive it. Amen? If you know some depressed Christians, you need to tell them. You don't want to be depressed no more, you start applying God's word to your life. If you're broke, you need to start applying God's word to your life. Because God has only one plan, amen? He doesn't have three or four ways of saving you. He's one way of saving you. It's through Jesus, amen? He doesn't have 10 ways of healing you. He's one way of healing you. That's through Jesus, amen? He has one way of God has one way. He is the way. Amen? Amen? Do not be deceived. Galatians chapter 6 and verse says, God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. Did you get that? Whatever he sows, that he will reap. Meaning if he don't sow no seeds of freedom, he ain't reaping no harvest of freedom. If he don't sow no financial seeds, he ain't reaping no financial harvest. Amen? God will not be mocked. No one will ever try and fool God, trick God. Amen. You have people going around saying, you know, I've been a Christian for 30 years and I'm still the same way as when I became a Christian. Well, have you ever, ever, ever sowed any different seeds in your life? As we said at the very start, if you don't like the harvest that you're reaping, sow some different seeds. Amen? Amen. God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. We need to start sowing some positive seeds, positive words over our lives and over our families. Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 3 from God's Words translation. Whoever controls his mouth protects his own life. Whoever has a big mouth comes to ruin. Amen. Whoever has a big mouth comes to ruin. Whoever runs off their mouth, letting idle words flow out of his mouth, will come to ruin. Amen. We have got to be so careful what words we allow out of our mouth, especially when we're talking about ourselves. Do you know if anybody else was to say some of the things that you say about yourself, you'd be doing time for assault, maybe even murder. You would never allow other people to talk about you the way you talk about yourself. If you heard somebody saying, he'll never amount to anything, he's a loser, that fellow's always sick, he'll probably die of the same thing his father died of, he'll never get a job, how could anybody ever love him, he'll always be poor, he'll always be depressed, he's so dumb, he's so ugly. I mean, if you ever overheard anybody saying those things about you, you'd knock him out. But yet we say those things all the time. Amen? Let that sink in. Proverbs chapter 6 and verse 2, it says, you are snared by the words of your mouth. You are taken by the words of your mouth. You have been trapped by the words that you have been saying over your own life. You are in bondage because of the words that have come out of your very own little mouth. You've made a rod for your own back by some of the things that you've been saying about yourself. You wouldn't let anybody else say those things. So why would you say those things about yourself? Matthew chapter 6 and verse 31, it says, therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? What was Jesus saying here? He was saying, if the thought comes, or the worry comes into your head, you don't have to speak it out. Amen? See, you can't stop the thought from coming into your head, but you can stop your mouth from speaking it out. Amen? But Jesus was saying, you know, don't worry about these things. Don't worry about these things. And if the thought does come into your head, you don't have to vocalize it. Amen? You don't always have to say the thing that comes into your head if it's not speaking life. Amen? Can't stop the rain from falling, but you don't have to get wet when it does. Amen? Don't have to stand out in it. I have this older, distant cousin of mine who was visiting the doctor with her husband to get some test results that they had. Man, this was many, many years ago. And as the two of them went back for their test results for her husband, the doctor gave a bad report for her husband. Can't even remember what it was now. But as the doctor was giving the bad report, my cousin spoke up and said, God spoke first. This thing will not come upon him. What was she doing? Okay, the reality may be the reality, but we don't have to receive it, amen? And if it, even if it is reality, we can still say, well, you know what, God spoke first. And by his stripes, he is healed, amen? We don't have to allow negative thought to be, words, should I say, to be spoken over our lives, amen? Amen. Tests will come, trials will come, but in the tests and trials, we have to recognize and realize who spoke first, amen, and what he says about our lives. Psalms 118 and verse 17 says, I shall not die, but live and declare the works of the Lord. Church, this is so, so important. We have to speak over our lives positive words and rebuke all negativity, amen. One final scripture, we're going to close on this one. Isaiah chapter 54 and verse 17. It says, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. And every tongue that rises against you in judgment, you shall condemn. Amen? Our words and other people's words can be used as a weapon against us. Amen? But we don't have to let them prosper. And every tongue that rises against you in judgment, we shall condemn it. Amen? This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. Are we servants of the Lord this morning? Amen? And their righteousness is from me, says the Lord. Amen?